Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced, and they are trying. More on that momentarily. Websites, HagmanReport.com. HagmanReport.com. Please bookmark that website. On the top is a banner. It'll take you to Hagman Videos. There you will find all of your video, audio, and please listen carefully, show notes and links. Okay? HagmanReport.com, banner, all of the videos, all of the audios, all of the show notes, all of the links, everything you need. HagmanStore.com. It's HagmanStore.com. Best doggone coffee you'll ever drink, Detective's Choice Coffee. You know, Eric the Tech and myself, okay, we spent months, and I mean this sincerely, months of selecting the type of bean, the just a whole different variety of things in order to create the blend of coffee that really I wanted to put my name on and my face on in there. Of course, my face is on there, as well as our iconic dog, me. Boy, I miss King. But nonetheless, HagmanStore.com for three types of coffee. You've got Detective's Choice, Patriot, and Revolution blends. Detective's Choice is hyper-caffeinated. For those of you who need that extra boost, if you're involved in interrogations, interviews, surveillances, investigations, or just dealing with your teenagers. And I think I described all of the above, right?
I'll tell you this, Richard Proctor doesn't need that boost.
He doesn't. He doesn't. He's got it already, doesn't he?
It's like a madman just running around.
Well, he's coming up in a few moments. And I ask his indulgence because I've got a couple of messages I need to clear out. First thing. The first bit of news. This will be, and I've said this before, but not like this. We're not going to wait for YouTube now. This will be the last video that we post on YouTube. I'm willing to walk away from 176,000 subscribers. Because what YouTube did today, in my view, is unforgivable, unconscionable, and just the icing on the cake. We knew this day was coming, but YouTube sent out an email stating that anyone who questions the 2020 elections, their content will be removed. In other words, YouTube announced that it will begin removing any content alleging widespread voter fraud influenced that widespread voter fraud influenced the outcome of the 2020 presidential election. Did you hear what I said? In other words, they're going to tell us what to think. They are going to tell you what to think. Look, we've been demonetized. Not a problem. We've been shadow banned. Not a problem. But I'll be damned if I'm going to let this communist piece of crap company tell me what I can say and what I can't say. And because they are claiming immunity under Section 230 of the CDA, I say throw the whole God-blessed thing out. Throw out the protections under Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act. Throw it out. Because they have become a content creator, a publisher. But worse, they're telling you what you can and can't see. And I said that because, you know, I've really tried my best because I know there are people out there that, if you're not on YouTube, I mean, I get emails every single day. I can't find you on Rumble. I can't find you on Brighteon. I don't know what I have to do. It's all in, if you open up the box in the YouTube description, you'll see the links, but I can't find you.
If you can't find us, just type in one simple word, Hagman.
Hagman. Yeah. Some people.
H-A.
You know, yeah. Some people claim to have done that. Okay.
Come on, man.
I'm not in the mood for Joe Biden today. But here's the bottom line. Okay, folks, please understand. I am not going to put up with this. Here within the next couple of weeks, I believe that I'm going to be, I'm just going to take down the Facebook. Well, you can't really, it's almost damn near impossible to delete a Facebook account. And I know people say, oh yeah, I can do it. I did it. Okay. Well, that's you. Okay. When you have a public figure, things are different. There are different types of accounts. But Facebook can go straight to hell. Twitter can go straight to hell. Actually, they are already there. And YouTube can go straight to hell. They're not going to tell us how to think. They shouldn't tell you how to think, what to watch. No. So I will support a platform, Rumble. Real simple. Rumble/Hagman Report. Two N's on Hagman. Okay. End of story. But, see, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, they'll allow this kind of crap to stand. Are you ready for this? Remember C.A. Johnson from the Michigan State Assembly? Remember, and Rudy Giuliani, Jenna Ellis, and they brought that Indian woman who worked for the city, works for the city of Detroit 30 years. And this woman of color sitting on the state legislature engages in witness intimidation. Do you remember that? Unforgivable. Attempting to dox a woman, a witness. That right there, they should have filed, well, of course, it's not a hearing, but I really believe that rose to the level of a criminal act. Witness intimidation. I've seen that. I've seen witness intimidation charges filed against people, cases I've worked. I'm going to show you, in place of questioning the results of the 2020 election, and in place of having you think for yourself, and in place of talking about the disparities of the 2020 election. They can't, YouTube will not allow that. Facebook, Twitter, not allow that. But let me show you what they will allow. Let me show you C.A. Johnson at HagmanReport.com. Look, we've got her contact information, got her phone number, got her email address. Because she put it out publicly. We didn't do it. She put it out publicly. But watch this.
So this is just a warning to you Trumpers. Be careful. Walk lightly. We ain't playing with you. Enough of the shenanigans. Enough is enough. And for those of you who are soldiers, you know how to do it. Do it right. Be in order. Make them pay.
Make right. Them pay.
Be in order. Make them pay.
I've got one message to you, lady, and I use that term very loosely. Bring it. And you know, I'm tired. In fact, I'm glad. This will be the last video on YouTube. And you can comment on Rumble, but I get tired of these weenies out there who say, oh, well, the Bible, you know, you can't be angry. You're too angry. You're damn right I'm angry. I'm beyond pissed off. Oh, you're falling into the trap. They want, you know, to pit one side against the other. Well, there are two sides. There's the right side and the wrong side. There's a good side and the evil side. And I'll tell you something. I don't believe you can stop what's coming. So, Ms. Johnson, bring it. Because right now we have a lawless situation taking place. You know, Mark Levin last night had said a few things, and we're going to be getting into constitutional issues with Dr. Richard Proctor here momentarily, who probably will say, hey, you know what? I don't want to even be close to your platform anymore. He was very kind, by the way, to do a very special Sunday broadcast, and we were right in doing that, because on Monday morning, hitting the ground running, the media had said what? Well, the safe harbor dates. And YouTube is using that as well, safe harbor dates. It's over. It's over. You can't talk about it anymore. If you get a chance, go back and watch, if you haven't done so already, the Sunday special. It's available at HagmanReport.com. Click on the videos link and you'll see it there. It's one of the most critical broadcasts that Richard Proctor and I have done, I believe. And we did it at the request of certain individuals engaged in the lawsuits here on behalf of the Trump campaign. But what's happened over the last 48 hours is just, it makes my stomach sick. I have a question to you folks out there. I felt rather optimistic yesterday until I started digging down deep into the core of the issues. The Pennsylvania case, Parnell and Mike Kelly, that Scott Parnell and Mike Kelly brought on, the Pennsylvania case. Pennsylvania, they were asking for injunctive relief. Okay. This is essentially black letter. This was a black letter law case, meaning that it's black and white. That's not what black letter law means, but it certainly is. It's black and white. And it was taken before three different venues, and the judge that ruled in favor of Mike Kelly and Scott Parnell, Representative Mike Kelly and Scott Parnell, congressional candidate here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, said, okay, no problem. You know, yes, move the case forward. It was taken to an appeals court and denied. They didn't even listen to it. They did not even listen to the case on its merits. So that denial ended up in the state or in the U.S. Supreme Court. So there was an injunctive relief granted by Alito, and then it was ultimately denied. The case was essentially denied. One sentence denial, Alito. And they can now petition for a writ of certiorari, which means that SCOTUS could take this up on the merits of the case as opposed to case law. But here's what you need to know, because the Texas case is out there. The Texas v. Commonwealth, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Georgia, and other states, I believe. And other states appear to be in support of that lawsuit. And it's a very extensive lawsuit. It is on HagmanReport.com, the entire lawsuit. And I urge you to read it, because when you start talking about statistical abnormalities and numerical impossibilities, improbabilities, implausibilities, you'll see what we're talking about. You know, how Biden can win the four states collectively or individually, which would put that, given the numbers at a certain time, and then it's all laid out there, but putting the odds at 1 in 4 trillion, 1 in 4 trillion individually, and collectively in the battleground states, did I say trillion? No, it's quadrillion. I'm sorry. I'm not used to, you know, those big numbers. one in, so collectively it would be 1 in 4 quadrillion to the fourth power. So you tell me, and any reasonable, sensible human being out there, if you believe that this, that there was no election fraud and there's no voter fraud that took place in the 2020 election, I would urge you to get your head out of your ass and start looking at exactly what the hell is going on in this country. And in my view, the only reason that the Supreme Court decided not to hear this case, and this was also mentioned by Scott Parnell on Steve Bannon's program today, is because of something called, well, it's actually a heckler's veto. Okay. There's no other really way to explain this. Now, what a heckler's veto is this. A heckler's veto occurs when the government accepts restrictions on speech because of the anticipated or actual reactions to the opponents of its speech. Did you get that? In other words, fear. Fear of adverse reaction to the ruling. If the Supreme Court issues a one-sentence reply to a pretty airtight, locked-in case by Representative Mike Kelly, my representative, who I'm extremely proud of, and Scott Parnell, who was a congressional candidate, and denies that with one sentence, what in the heck makes you think that the Supreme Court of the United States is going to look favorably on the Texas v. other states case? I want to talk to Richard Proctor about the fact that all states must follow Article 2 of the U.S. Constitution. Because what we have here in Pennsylvania is despicable. Act 77, which violates Pennsylvania's the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania Constitution, and it violates the U.S. Constitution, was pushed in pre-COVID era, pushed in pre-COVID. And set up drop boxes, but this is all part of the, as I mentioned yesterday, part of the HAVA, the, or part of the Zuckerberg, CTCL organization, that Zuckerberg gave as much money to these hotspots as the entire federal government gave all across the country. $400 million for what? To put in, drop boxes, and that, of course, enjoined the precincts, the ballot areas, into this 161-page consent agreement, or consent decree agreement, that says, "Look, okay, we're going to give you the money, and here's what you need to do, and here's how you need to spend it. You got to put up drop boxes, but you can't." Here's what you can't do. You can't look at our software code. You can't look under the hood of the Dominion machines and whatever machines that might be in use. Now, that's really kind of a broad brush overview of what happened. But Act 77 is unconstitutional on its face because it violates the Pennsylvania Supreme Court and it violates the U.S., Pennsylvania, Constitution and the United States Constitution. There are obvious violations of Article 2 of the Supreme Court of the United States by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court in this ruling. And the fact that the Supreme Court of the United States wouldn't even hear this or dismissed it on a single sentence amounts to a heckler's veto. All they did was demand injunctive, just to be sure, or just to be clear, all they did was demand emergency injunctive relief to stop certification to sort until things could be sorted out about Act 77, which again is unconstitutional. But they didn't want to do that. Pennsylvania, as well as the entire country, is in a constitutional crisis at the moment. It's up to us. There's no one coming to our aid. And there's two reasons. There are two things that are working against us. Time. because January 20th is the only date that matters. Noon on January 20th. But the second thing, and which is probably the most troublesome, that is the spineless, gutless, cowardice, seditious, traitorous Republicans in the various state legislatures all across the country, as well as federally. That's what you get. And you can ask Richard Proctor this. That's what you get when you have parties, these two parties, which is really one party, a uniparty. I'm going to hold off on the other video. I just had to say this because we are being set up for battle. Because you cannot, there's no discussion. The ideological differences are so far apart, there is absolutely no fixing this. None. Zero. There's no discussion. There's no room at the discussion table. When you've got C.A. Johnson talking like she's talking, you think that there's anything to talk about? Then you've got this breaking news where this 400,000 Pennsylvania mail-in ballots suddenly appeared after election night. But see, Act 77, that's what that did was, well, you know, signatures don't matter. And when the votes come in, they come in. It doesn't really matter. And it loosened the constitutional restrictions of the voting process. And one last thing here. You know, the issues are not just confined to Pennsylvania, Georgia. Fulton County says it will provide, and I mentioned this yesterday, chain of custody for absentee ballots from drop boxes when? January 19th, 2021, by midnight. You think that's funny? I certainly don't. All right. And that concludes my opening statement in terms of my rant. And again, I'm going to have to seek my blood pressure medication because, folks, you know what's coming. You know what is coming. Oh, should we talk about China just briefly? Hey, where's Hunter? Have we heard about Hunter Biden's laptop? And yesterday we did show the Tucker Carlson expose, or at least part of it, about the Chinese influence here in this country with all the top level officials. If you missed the first part yesterday, please watch it. If Joe Biden is sworn in on the 20th, may God help us all. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. Thank you so much for allowing me that time to decompress. I suppose it's more cathartic to me to do this. I appreciate your time. I appreciate the fact that you sacrificed a Sunday to be with us. That video has been spread far and wide. People have taken notice of that. We were the first out basically with that information. Richard, you're a star. Thank you, sir.
Shucky darn, I'm just a dude that sits here in Kansas City. I'm in Kaysville, Utah, just doing what he thinks is the right thing to do. Nothing more than that.
Well, I appreciate your time, and I think that a lot of people got we got numerous emails and comments, favorable comments about your explanation about what, you know, really the only date that matters is noon on the 20th of January pursuant to the Constitution. And folks, by the way, his book, Dr. Proctor's book, is Saving the Constitution. Number one bestseller on Amazon. How do you like that? Number one bestseller on Amazon. I really hope, folks, that we had a little bit to do with that. But you got to get the book if you don't have it already. Christmas is coming. What a great gift this would make for anybody who does not have it. That's Saving the Constitution. Go to ProvisInstitute.com. And while you're there, grab a hold of all of his other books as well, the Liberty Series especially, and Bathroom Economics, my goodness, plus the books for homeschoolers. Now is the time. So ProvisInstitute.com. And there you'll find all of the books. I was going to say pastor, but Dr. Proctor, what would you like to discuss today?
Well, you know, I've been listening very closely to all the stuff you've been talking about. Supreme Court won't even see the case. Why? Just why? Don't just stop with the fact that they won't. Ask the question why. We don't ask that question why often enough. We leave that dangling out there. We just complain about the result. But these people are not dummies. Why? I mean, I can't see that Clarence Thomas would agree with this. Why? Well, I think there's only one reason why. I do. Read my book, my novel, my series, my Liberty series, and you'll understand why I'm going to say what I'm going to say now. Because they've been threatened with life or torture or something like that. And that's why they're not going to give in and take that kind of a risk. I don't, you know, that's what they're being threatened with. There's no other way to explain. The intelligent men and women that are there that are doing these kinds of things are either treasonous and should be shot for treason. This is a wartime. You must remember, we are at war. We are not sitting here peacefully. We are at war. And during a time of war, declared or not, during a time of war, actual war, treasonous activities are capital punishable. And they did it during the Revolutionary War all the time. British did it and the Americans did it all the time. Treasonous activity. That stuff that young lady said on that video is treasonous activity. She should be in jail, tried, and hung for treasonous activity. I'm sorry, guys. That's what the rules are. That's what the rules of war are. Giving aid and comfort to the enemy. And if that's not aid and comfort, I don't know what it is. You see, we say the words like that, but the words matter. Words all matter. Words are important. Now we have the Supreme Court saying, oh, dear me, we can't look at this. Why it might cause too many riots. Oh, no, it might cause too many riots. Ha, that's ridiculous. What we're saying on these channels, what all the alternate media people are saying, will cause riots too, because it's right. And they're not facing up to what's right. They're facing up to what they can get away with as an excuse. The stupid court, with capital letters on the word stupid, all caps, is what's coming down the line. We think that they're the Supreme Court. They're not the Supreme Court. They're not even worth being an inferior court with what's going on. Denied the case. Wow, what a deal. Yeah, they knew what they'd have to rule, and they didn't want to do it for fear of their lives and for fear of what would happen in the country. So obviously, if they don't do it, then Biden gets elected, and Biden, of course, everything will be peaceful and nice. The country will go back to normal. There'll be no more problems. Oh, yay, the savior of our world is the incompetent Joe Biden. But he'll be tried, be taken to the if he's inaugurated, about 2 weeks later, they'll use the 25th Amendment and remove him from office. Incapable. Absolutely. No doubt about it. Then the vice president will take over, and she'll be so friendly and so nice to our Republican. Oh, everything will be so good. And that's what the Supreme Court is telling us. Don't worry. It will all be fine. When Harris, a non-citizen of this country, becomes president, like Obama, a non-citizen of this country. But she's got more vindictive attitudes than Obama had. Obama wanted to change things. She wants to destroy things. And that's what this little s stupid court has said. We want that rather than honesty and integrity. Mm. Well, there are people calling for a martial law, and so am I.
I have to say this. I said this on Sunday. I never thought I would hear you say that, which martial law meaning a suspension of the Constitution.
Yes, okay. That's right. I'm a constitutionalist. I live by the Constitution.
Right.
But martial law means we have suspended the Constitution until we can root out this cancer that's destroying our country. Now, I have confidence because I see honesty in President Trump. I have confidence that after he's rooted it out, he will back off, bring the Constitution back, and perhaps even in better force than it is now. And that would be nice.
You know, I don't know how many people Guantanamo holds, but I don't think it's big enough for all of the people we need to send down there, in my opinion.
Well, you're right. It's not big enough. What we should use is all the FEMA camps and take all the people to the FEMA camps that are on military bases and exclude any citizens from being any other people, any non-military, exclude everybody from being able to go into those, into the area of those camps. Just exclude them. Yeah, we've got a lot of FEMA camps. Yep. Just send them all there. And then set up the military tribunals and do law-abiding work.
You know, in the past couple of several days, it's come out about the Communist Chinese Party. Well, at least it's come out in certain venues, certainly not on CNN or MSNBC, about how incestuous the Communist Chinese Party has been reportedly this, Fang Fang. I'm serious about the name. I think it's Fang Fang or Feng Feng. This woman who, is pictured with, Swalwell, whatever his name is, you know, had sexual relations with a couple, mayors in the Midwestern cities, possibly associated with that Eric Swalwell, who happens to be on the Intelligence Committee, which, okay, that's nice. And then you got Feinstein's driver for 20 years who, reportedly has connections to the Communist Chinese Party. The incestuous, nature, of the Communist Chinese in this country, starting with that contemptible SOB Kissinger back in the 70s who opened the doors, you know, under Nixon and going through with, going through to, Clinton. Who sold us out to the Communist Chinese? You talk about a whore. I mean, and these words, I know these words are rather incendiary, but they're meant to be because we are in the fight of our lives.
Yes, we are. Doug, think for a minute. Let's back up a little bit differently than you just said that.
Okay.
Let's back up clear back to Wilson. Wilson was the president of the United States. But he was controlled by a man named Edward Mandel House.
Right.
Edward Mandel House gave him his instructions, told him what to do. And he was there all the time. So Wilson was not the president. Edward Mandel House was. Now, who is he? Edward Mandel House was a part of the international banking establishment that I mention all the time. That's the group of people that are destroying our country because they want to destroy this constitution and this country because it's their only barrier to taking over the world. Now let's move ahead to another president. The man's name is Theodore Roosevelt. No, he's not. I'm sorry. What? That man's name is Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He constantly went to Felix Frankfurter of the Supreme Court to get advice and direction and continue and tell him what to do. Felix Frankfurter was also a member of the international banking establishment. So Roosevelt was controlled by the international banking establishment. These are actual, you know, you can see the people involved here rather than just obscurities. Then we move forward to Nixon. Nixon was brought in to be president. Rockefeller allowed it to be as long as he would accept Kissinger as his controller. So Kissinger did his job of controlling Nixon all the time he was in office. Now we're up to people like Obama and the Clintons. They don't need anybody to control them. They're already ready to be controlled. Our country has been controlled by the international banking establishment since 1910 or before. 1910. Well, we could back up one more date, too. We could go to 1906 when Paul Warburg was brought into this country to prepare us for and get us to have a central bank called the Federal Reserve. He started in 1906. So you see, we can even go back further than that. And if you want to go back into the book, the coming The Coming Battle? Coming Battle. My name, I haven't got the name right. That particular book, written by Witzel, goes back into the 1800s in the banking system. Again, controlled through the banking system. There. We can go back to Andrew Jackson. He stopped the controlling of the international banking establishment when he closed the second central bank of our country. Alexander Hamilton was the first one. He started the first central bank of our country. So, guys, this is not new. This is just more blatant. It's not new. I just went through the whole history of our country, didn't I? All the way, every period of time, we've been controlled by the same people with the same goal. And if you want to know what the goals are, get a hold of the book, Philip Drew Administrator by House, and read that. It's not too long, about 100 pages, not tough to read. And as you walk through that, watch what happens to our republic as it becomes a corporation and becomes a controlled by the international banking establishment. That's the goal. In the end of the book, he relinquishes his position and he sails off into the sunset. That's what they say all dictators are going to do, relinquish their position and sail off into the sunset and allow the people to run it. That's what they always say about every communist society, every dictatorship. That's what the book ends with, is the statesman that's controlling the country, has all the power in the country, gets in a boat and sails off into the West and leaves it for the people. That, if you believe that, I got some swampland in Florida and some in Louisiana, and I've got a bridge over a river in Arizona to sell you. If you believe that, come on down and I'll sell all those things to you so that you'll have good land in a good bridge in Arizona, land in Louisiana, and land in wherever else the floodwaters are. Folks, we are being conned. I've got a little statement up here that I just coined after last Sunday. We are a nation of uninformed informers, informing a people that have no idea what is right or wrong, that then follow every wind no matter where it leads.
Profound.
A nation of uninformed individuals that are sitting on radio and TV and everywhere, they're the informers, uninformed informers, informing us, a people who don't have any idea what's right or wrong, and then we are following every direction they say, no matter where it leads. That's where we are today, right now. And the where it's going to lead is portrayed very nicely in Dr. Zhivago, as you watch that movie. And I've mentioned that movie a lot of times now over the air.
Yes, you have.
Everybody should watch that movie so you know what's coming. You got to be prepared. Yes, you got to be prepared. Watch that movie, clear to the end, start to finish.
Folks, I would urge that. Dr. Zhivago, and you know what? I want to give you a lot of props. And folks, please, I can't recommend this enough, because what we're talking about here, too, is contained within the series, the Liberty series by Dr. Richard Proctor, the Liberty series. I was digging through this since Sunday night, getting an idea. You know, look, I consider myself a pretty informed guy. Okay. But I was going through, I think it was volume four or five. It's a six volume. Six. So I was going through four or five and I was looking at, some of the, information in here, and some of the stuff that, Dr. Proctor had isolated is about today, but it was captured back in like 05, 06, and sometimes, 2010. But it really lays things out as to how we got here and who is, behind this government takeover. As Dr. Zhivago, you know what? I'll tell you what. Here's what I need you guys to do. Grab yourself a cup of Detective's Choice coffee. Put on Dr. Zhivago on your smart TV or whatever, or VCR. I don't know. I still have a tape to take back to Blockbuster. Do you think I'm going to get excited for that? Anyway. As long as I rewind it, I'm sure. So Dr. Zhivago, Detective Joyce Coffee, and while you're watching the movie, grab Saving the Constitution or the Liberty series. Liberty series, you can probably follow along in some respects with a movie, but saving the Constitution as well. So, and buy these for Christmas for your significant others and people you care about. Because, folks, I'm going to tell you something. We're losing our country if we haven't already lost it. But I'm not going to let that happen.
No, I'm not either. Not either. By the way, I'd like to back up to just a little quirk here. You talked about people saying they could get off of Facebook. No, they can't. They say, well, you're a celebrity. That's why you can't get off. I can get off. No, you can't. I started 10 years ago. I went on Facebook for 3 months, decided that this is not the kind of thing I wanted to participate in, so I deleted my account. Ha! No, I didn't. I thought I did. They said it would be deleted in 30 days. But every time somebody says to me, go to Facebook, if I do, they resurrect my account and stick me in it again. So I have to delete it again. And they say I'll be gone in 30 days. But every time somebody says, you better go to Facebook, when I do, the account comes up again, the same one that I canceled 10 years ago, just keeps coming back up again, over and over and over. You cannot get out of Facebook. They will not let you. So I never go to Facebook, period. I don't care. I don't care who wants to go there. I don't care what they think is good. I will not go because I'm tired of that thing being resurrected every time somebody wants to talk to me about something they're recommending. I won't go there. There you have it. It can't be done. You cannot get out of the thing.
No.
By the way, that book I was trying to remember is published in 1898. It's called The Coming Battle. And it talks in detail about the banking system of 1860, 70, 80, and 90, published in 1898. I have a copy. I have copies of all these things. I've read them, went through them carefully, watched. Yeah. Yeah, guys. It's a good book. It's a good book. Anyway.
Wow. This stuff has got to weigh heavy in your heart. You know, again, to your credit, as I was reading the Liberty series, going through, I was actually looking for something specific, and I found that. I didn't think I would, but I found that beautiful table or index, by the way. I have to give you a lot of credit because, knowing what you know, having written what you wrote, what you see taking place today has got to just be heavy on your heart, weighing heavy on your heart, for a lot of reasons to see our republic, see these, and pardon my language, these bastards, these spineless bastards, nonetheless, in the form of our Republican leaders, they have no leadership. They're spineless.
Yes, they're not. That's right.
And you know, I would use much harsher words, except this is a family show. And,
you know, Doug, yes, they're spineless and they're cowards, but you got to think why. Why are they? Because they're being paid off handsomely in the background. It's a money deal and a money in power. Many of these people think that when the international banking establishment takes over, they're going to get positions of power. No, they're not. There's not enough room for them. They're going to be scuttling the ground just like we are. They're going to be down in the drug and the sham just like we are. And they're going to have to sit back and say, we are a part of the reason we are here. Because we wouldn't help the people understand. Because we cornered them. All these news media. If you want to know what's going to happen to the news media, what I want you to do is go to Alan Drury's book, Capable of Honor. That was printed in the 60s. Yeah, 60s, right. Anyway, that was printed, published then. And what he did was he showed a newscaster, a guy that was really into it, telling everybody what to think, just like the news does today. Well, when the communists took over our country and carted everybody off to jail that they didn't like, the news people were carted off to jail too. And they said, well, why are you carting off? We've been helping you. Why? Well, if you turn against your own company, you'll turn against us. We're not going to have it. And they carted them off to the camps too with that excuse. So we have a lot of people in our country right now that think they're going to be in the top brackets that will be carted off to the camps just like I will be and Doug will be and anyone else who's trying to fight this thing will be. And they'll say, but we helped. We were helping. Yeah, but if you turn traitor to your own country, you'll turn traitor to us. And that's the sentence. Those guys were carted off to jail. So Wonderful Walter found himself in the camps.
You know, I was looking at capable of honor. And in fact, I brought it up here as you were talking. And I had a question about that because it's Alan Drury is the author. Capable of Honor is the title. And in the parentheses, it says Advise and Consent, Book 3. And is this part of a – I was kind of going through this, and I was trying to figure out, is this part of a series or is this a standalone book?
Oh, Doug, it's a part of a 7-book series.
Okay. All right.
It starts with Anna Hastings, and it goes to Advice and Consent. Then it goes to a Shade of Difference. Then it goes to Capable of Honor. Then it goes to Preserve and Protect. And then that forks off into 2 different books, the Cum Nineveh, Cum Tyre, and The Joy of the Presidency. It's a historical fiction novel of what could happen if we continued down the roads we were in the 50s.
All right. You know what? I didn't go far down. For some reason, I didn't go far down enough, or got lost in my, in the clutter down there. But yeah, okay. It's okay. Yeah, I'm going to have to take a look at that. And folks, I would urge you to. Dr. Proctor's providing a lot of great advice and great insight. But back to what you said, and you know, you said about, these people are compromised, and I understand that. But my question to you, if you were the one that was compromised, or you had received payoffs from the Communist Chinese Party, or whatever it might be, at what point does someone like that put country before the shame of saying, you know what, I really messed up. And you know, I'll turn state's evidence in my language anyway. I'll turn state's evidence or you know, I'll admit to what I've done for, you know, I'll plead this out.
You're being very nice to these people.
Mm.
Once they have accepted money like this, they're hooked and they're afraid now to go the other way because if they do, everybody will know what a liar and a fraud they are. They don't want that either. They want power and control. They're hooked. They're not going to leave. They're not going to turn around. They're not going to change. So the date that you just said, when are they? My answer to that is never. Never, never, never. Never. Never, never, never.
That's why you, I was going to say that's why you get paid the big bucks, but that's why I have you on because you set me straight. And
well,
you're
right. I don't set you straight. I just pointed a little different than you do. That's all.
Well,
you're more compassionate than I am with these people.
Oh,
remember, I've been studying them for a lifetime. I'm tired of them.
You know, I've been accused of being a lot of things. Compassion is not one of them, especially to the enemies of our country. But yes, you know, yeah. In that case, I suspect I've been too charitable in thinking that, you know, well, they'd do the right thing given the fact that our country hangs in the balance.
Nope. They don't care. They hung it there. They don't care.
That's right. That's right. And you know, tying closely into that is bathroom economics. I don't talk about that often, but folks, bathroom economics too, it explains our economy. And in this book, I always liked, you know, I love books. Okay. I mean, I really do. I get probably, oh, I don't know, 10 books a week, 5 or 8 books a week, maybe 7, 8 books a week. This one, I just kind of keep around this and Saving the Constitution and a few others. I keep by, you know, me all the time. It's never outside of a, you know, 5 foot away from me. You do a good job explaining things about how the economy is connected into the political system and how we're all being just hosed.
Yeah. That's why my degree is in political economics, not economics and not poli-sci. Those two are intermingled completely. And the bad thing about that intermingling is that 99% of our people do not know they are. They do not know how it happens. They do not understand what socialism is. They don't understand what minimum wages are. They don't understand what free trade is. They do not understand these political things that are economic in basis. And the most important thing to remember, folks, is economic laws cannot be altered by laws. They cannot be altered. Economic laws are in stone. If anything is in stone, you cannot alter them. The government can't pass a law to alter any of them. It's kind of like passing a law to alter gravity. You jump out of the 10-story window, you pass laws all day long, and you're still going to crunch. There's no way to stop it. Nixon tried to stop it, tried to put a price freeze and wage freeze in the 1970s. Oh, yes, we'll get a hold of this. We'll put a price freeze and a wage freeze on. 90 days. And all that happened was, in 90 days when it went off, everything exploded to the place where it would have been or more, because economic laws cannot be changed. They are laws. All you can do is change statistics on how you report things. That's how they say there's no inflation, because they eliminate things that cause inflation, like food and gas. They eliminate that from the thing. They use what we call durable goods, furniture. Those kinds of things don't move so quickly as food does. Therefore, you can use those and show that there's very little inflation. Or you can just manipulate the figures. They've got about five or six different ways they manipulate the figures to get the right number for inflation. And it doesn't work, folks. Economic laws are there. They're not going to change. It can't be done. All you can do is politically maneuver to get everybody to think you're doing something good for them. So if you knew what the economic side of the thing was, you wouldn't be bamboozled. But if you don't, you will be. We're led by lambs to the slaughter, not knowing any more than the lambs what's happening to us. And that's absolutely true. We are people with no idea what's right and wrong. And then we follow every wind, no matter where it leads us. Because we don't know what's going on.
In accordance with your statement that you wrote after Sunday's show, that again, very profound. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. There's so much. I have another thing I think a lot about. The measure of your freedom, the essence of your freedom is measured by how much the government leaves you alone. Now, what I want you to do, everybody, is look at your state government. How much are they leaving you alone? That defines the freedom you have, period. That's it. So if they're forcing you to do something and you're doing it because they're forcing you to, you are giving up your freedoms. You're not just wearing a mask. You're giving up your freedoms. That's just the first step to the next step. Once they know that we'll wear a mask and stay 6 feet around and not shake hands and do one of these elbow things. Oh, my. Once you'll do any of those things, they know they bought you. They'll do the next thing, whatever that is. Well, the next thing probably is travel restrictions, where they will not let you go anywhere. Now, one of the things coming is these injections. Oh, yeah, these what they're going to call them, vaccines. Oh, yeah. No, they're not. They are destroying. They're poisons that will destroy you on purpose, because you will now do that because you've already demonstrated that you're afraid to death. And just a new thing to help your health. So we'll take the injection. Then we won't have to do that anymore. Oh, boy, yay. All you're doing is hastening your death. That's all you're doing. These people want 95% of the population dead. And they've talked about it for decades. Jacques Cousteau was a part of the group. We want 95% of these people dead. George Bernard Shaw, Fabian Socialist, was a part of this kind of organization. How long ago was he? 19 teens. He was a part of this group, these people. Folks, we are being led down a rosy path because we refuse to understand what's happening. We're not that we couldn't. We refuse to understand. I talk to people and I explain to them. I've got facts. I say, this is really the crowning thing. I have facts to show from physicians, doctors, everybody, fact researchers, everything that shows what this disease is. Would you like me to send any to you? No, I'm not interested. I know. I'm okay. I don't need it. Thank you very much. And that's the answer. And that tells me where we are. You see, they don't even want to look at anything that might disagree with what the law du jour is. Here's another thought. If facts don't confirm your beliefs, you won't accept them. In other words, if I give you a fact about what this COVID is, you will not accept it because you know that whatever you're reading is not true because it's not your belief. And that's where we are. Those are three statements that I have up on my wall so I can see them and think about them regularly. If facts don't confirm your beliefs, you won't accept them. The essence of freedom is measured by how much the government leaves us alone. Yes, Doug.
How can people unlearn that? Yeah, in other words, if facts don't confirm your beliefs, you won't believe them. How can people stop it? How can people unlearn that relinquish that bad habit, if you will?
Well, that makeup, when they're hauled off as prisoners, they will lose that. They will understand it.
All right. That's kind of what I thought the answer would be. You know, it's kind of like talking to your teenage son. Hey, you know, don't do that. You're going to get hurt, or don't do that. This is going to happen. No, I got it.
Yeah. I don't send this to people who don't want it because I don't want them to be too mad at me. They already are mad. I don't want them to be too mad at me because I send them something they might want. They might have to read or might have to know. I tell you, folks, our country is in bad shape. Today I got an interesting thing from my daughter. It was a family newsletter, and it opened by saying, "Happy holidays." Mm. Not Merry Christmas.
Ruh-roh.
What does that say? That says political expression is more important than anything.
Mm.
See? Those are the things. Those are the things that indicate where people are.
Well, you know, in her defense, or in the writer's defense, let me just say this. I've caught myself a couple of times. This may not be the same, but using words that are not applicable, but doing so innocently. For example, you hear so often the term gay referring to homosexuality. Okay. Rather than saying, oh, he's a homosexual or she's a homosexual, she's gay, he's gay. Often I correct myself or catch myself, wait a minute, because that's not what the meaning of that word is. Even
it is now, Doug. It's been changed. That meaning has been also rainbow. Both of those words have been taken away from us and destroyed.
Okay, well,
that's what the word means now.
I guess starting out, I said that it might be not, you know, it might not be a proper analogy. So, okay, but yes, but people have. I'm sick and tired of that too. I'm sick and tired of happy holidays. No, it's Merry Christmas. Earlier today, you mentioned something. Earlier today, I had somebody come in. I needed some work done in my house, and when I was at my house, two guys came in to repair what was needed. And, the contractor that I used was, I've known for years, but I haven't seen him in, well, he's just, anyway, how often do you need a contractor or, you know, construction guy, right? You don't. So anyway, he comes in, he's got a mask on, and he says, hey, it's been a long time. And I went to shake his hand, and he said, no, let's do elbow bump. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. Anyway, make a long story short, by the time he left, he had his mask off and we shook hands. But I don't even know why I went down that road. What we were talking about here, but it's just people to me today have lost all sense of, you know, in the real world, people have gone nuts. I mean, I don't know whether you saw that woman. She's a teacher out in Oregon, apparently. And, there are some people pro-Trump, people on the corner, and she stopped her Subaru. Go figure. And, she gave him the finger and saying, put your mask on. You know, you're killing me and people or kids are dying, you know, and she got suspended finally because of public outrage. But people have lost their flipping minds, Dr. Proctor. They've lost their minds.
Yes, they have. Oh, yes, they have. I was here. I am and doing some work with the city, and I didn't have a mask on. And the young lady was serving me. Why haven't you got your mask? Because I don't wear those things. Well, I guess you don't care, do you? And I thought, no, I do care, and you shouldn't be wearing one either. And they look at me like I'm a snake that just bit them. That's where we are. Are we going to go back? I will make a thought, just a thought. If tomorrow the media, the president, anybody began to say, no, in the media, let's not use the media because they're, anyway, if the president said tomorrow, this COVID stuff is ridiculous, no more masks allowed, he would lose millions of people because they know the mask is necessary to protect their health. Yet, they're wearing something that is so porous that it couldn't keep any disease out. And they're not paying any attention to the fact that these diseases are 1 micron where the mask, the best mask you have is 3. So anything will go through it. And they're not paying any attention to the fact that that this micron is so small it floats in the air and floats for 26 feet before it drops. And you can't get it from that anyway. Human cannot be infected with this thing. If you even have it, you can't infect someone else. What is it? It's a very bad case of the flu, just like last year's or the year before. It's a bad case of the flu, nothing else. I know people a year ago, 2 years ago, that were really, really sick. Oh, my, they had the flu. Oh, they were sick, sick. Oh, it was terrible. Yes, and they knew it was the flu. This year, they all think it's COVID-19. Oh, yeah, that's the reason. Oh, boy, better get tested. Oh, I better. Garbage. We are being led to the slaughter. To the slaughter. You'll find that in my first book, Bathroom Economics. You'll find it there. You'll find that statement. We're being led by like the lambs to the slaughter because we don't know any more than the lambs what's going on. And I want you to look at the lamb and see what they know about what's happening to them. And then you're there if you're following this stuff. So, a fellow asked me to talk more about color of law. By the way, that's please. What we've been doing for the last few minutes in case it wasn't discernible. And color Title 18 and Title 42 both give you guys federal law that says these governors, these legislatures, these health departments cannot do what they're doing. They're up to being thrown in jail. Fine. The only person I know of in the government and the governor business is that young lady in South Dakota who is doing the right thing. And her state's thriving while the rest of us are dovetailing. Folks, this is not a disease of any different than anything else that you've had. It's a flu, just like always. That's the disease, a flu. And you're going to get this flu, and it's going to be bad. And some people will die from the flu. Yes, they will. Thousands, in fact. I'll be darned. This year, you're not dying from the flu. You're dying from COVID. And COVID's killing everybody, so you got to wear a mask. Last year, you died from the flu, and nobody cared. That's what the media has done to us. That's what the International Banking Establishment has done to us on purpose. And they've done it on purpose so they could control this election right now, so they could destroy our country. This thing started the beginning of this year on purpose. There was no other purpose for this so-called disease. It is only to get us scared, afraid to death, scared to death, so they could get the mail-in ballots in, so we could manipulate all the ballots. Oh, yes, you can manipulate the ballots. I've seen it. They don't even check signatures. They don't know who signed it. I could sign yours. I could sign 100 of them tomorrow and send them in, and they'll all say, okay, that's good. Because that's exactly what's happening. And they're saying, okay, that's good, because they're not checking everything. We do not have any results of this election that you can count on being accurate. Not any results. Now, my run for treasurer, I'm going to count that on being accurate. Okay, because nobody cares who's the treasurer. It doesn't make any difference. So the incumbent got 900,000, almost 1 million votes. And that's a good number. I'm sure he earned them. And I got 140,000, and another guy in the group got 190,000. And I'm sure that those votes are accurate because nobody cares about the treasurer. But they do care about the governor, and we elected one of the same ilk as the one we have now.
Wow.
So I don't have any confidence in that voting.
You know, okay, so with that thought, is it the electronic voting, right, is what you're referring to?
Yes. Okay. It was electronic voting. Yeah, there were places you could go vote also. We weren't completely electronic, but it was electronic because it was done by a computer when they got there. So right. Yes.
So how much sense does it make to you that we would have another election with the same equipment, the same set of, you know, the same software, the same code, the same people administering everything, or similar people or different people with the same, you know, product? How much sense does that make to you that we should, you know, vote? Because I'm seeing people everywhere saying, especially in Georgia with this quote runoff election. By the way, they should remove the machines and move the runoff to, the 1st of February, in my view, because, people can't have confidence. At least half the country doesn't have confidence. More than half doesn't have confidence in our electoral process at this point. How can we even have a country?
No. At this point in our country, we have the worst election system in the world. Mm-hmm. Worse even than the ones they did in China and Russia, because everybody knew it was going to happen there. So there wasn't any question. At least we think something might happen, but it doesn't. We have allowed, ever since these computer things came in, about three elections ago, we have allowed them to get worse and worse and worse, because we don't think that anybody would be dishonest. You see, we have a makeup. We're Americans. We have a makeup, and you've illustrated it, Doug, several times today. We have a makeup of thinking people aren't as evil as they really are. And because we think they're not as evil as they are, ever they really are, we give them the benefit of the doubt. Oh, they wouldn't really do that. Oh, they wouldn't do that. Oh, no, that wouldn't happen. But it is. But we're Americans. We believe in right and wrong. We believe in the Ten Commandments. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe these things. And they're ingrained in us. Therefore, we assume everybody else is like that, because it's ingrained in us. The only reason I'm so hard on these things is because I've written these books. I know what's going on. But I'm still not hard that I believe everybody's bad, but not very many aren't. Is that okay? I mean, it's a, yeah. It's the situation, folks. We have become hardened against evil. Think about that sentence. Hardened against evil, not hardened for, or we're hardened against it. Hardened against believing there are evil people like this. We're hardened into that.
We have to change our outlook.
Yes, we must. We must. Now, you remember that young lady you talked about that was a teacher that said that, then she was removed because of public outcry?
Right.
How many teachers are there doing exactly the same thing in this public school system, but are not so open? Therefore, nobody has a hue and a cry about them. Therefore, they're still there infiltrating, wordsmithing what the minds of your children are accepting and learning and taking into their system.
Too many.
Do you know, folks, again, if you read my books, you'll know this, but if you haven't, you won't. How many classes, how many schools are expelling, are locking the doors so parents cannot come in when they do certain things in assemblies? They will not let the parents in, period. You cannot get in. The door's locked. They do not want the people, parents, to know what they're doing to their children, so they lock the doors. That's going on all over this country. We have schools having labs in sexual activity. Now, you think for a minute what I said, labs in sexual activity in high school and junior high.
Oh, yeah.
Experimenting under the assistance and coaching of their teachers with the doors locked, and you're being told, never tell your parents about this. That's what's going on in a lot of our schools, guys. We are not a pure country anymore. Our school system has begun hardened against us. And to give you an idea of how completely we're hardened, in Utah, several years ago, this has been a good 12 years ago, we passed, our legislature passed a good, far-reaching law about using money that parents were paying for public schools. If they took their children to a homeschooling environment, then some of the money would follow them. Not all of it, but some of it would follow them to alleviate the expenses. And it was a good bill, but it would allow people to keep their children out of the public school business. It was passed, but everybody, no, the people who didn't like that, i.e. the teachers' unions, they got everybody together and pushed and pushed and brought money into the state, and did such a complete brainwashing of our state that the people rejected it. We threw out the best law in the country for homeschooling. Why? Because money came from outside our state to do it. The international banking establishment didn't want the kids out of the schools. Is that clear? That's where the money came from. We are controlled. And you know where they get all the money that what I'm talking about that they have to control us and the rest of the world too? They get it from the debt structure that we have. Because every dollar we pay to a bank is profit to the bank on any loan we do. Since we are $18 trillion in debt on consumer loans, all the interest and all the payments on that $18 trillion is going into the coffers of the international banking establishment so they can come back and control and destroy our country and others. Folks, that's the circle. That's the circle of the money. You don't know these things because they don't want you to know them. Nobody believes it. I will explain exactly how it's going on to a group, and maybe one will even understand. The rest will just blank out when I begin to say that it's all profit. It blanks out immediately. Oh, it can't be that. They wouldn't do that. Oh, no. So I don't get anywhere. I've been talking about the bank system for 5 years. I got 140,000 votes this time. That means 140,000 people are beginning to understand what I'm talking about. But the other guy who wants the Federal Reserve in place got a million votes. And so that tells you where the state really is.
Are you making progress, though? Are we making progress? You know,
yes, we are.
Because
yes, we are.
I would say maybe the last time you ran, maybe it was half the 140 or whatever the number might have been.
My votes?
Yes.
They hadn't counted them all yet. After they finished counting them all, that's where it was.
Okay.
140,000.
But I mean, okay, so.
Are we making progress?
We are making progress.
The answer to the question, are we making progress?
Right.
Last time, only got 75,000.
That's what I meant. You know, yeah, the last, right, so.
Last election.
Right.
75,000. The election before that, I got 45,000. The election before that, I got about 32,000. Yes, I'm making progress. Keep on going at this rate. When I'm 150, I'll get elected.
I thought that was your last birthday.
Yes, I'm sorry. I did. Moses and I were good buddies. I helped him with the stuff that he was taking the tablets out.
I shouldn't joke about age because, well, I'm old too.
You're not as old as I am. I really am 80 in 3 months.
You know, that's amazing. I mean, it really is. You're sharp as ever, and you could probably whoop me, so.
I can go whoop anybody. I can barely get up in the morning, but at least I can keep going.
Yeah, exactly. And folks, Richard Proctor, the author of Saving the Constitution, Bathroom Economics, go to Provis, P-R-O-V-I-S, Institute.com. But the link will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. Please listen to those words. Don't send me an email saying, where's the link? HagmanReport.com. And please, Christmas is coming up. These would make very good Christmas gifts. Saving the Constitution, Bathroom Economics, and Liberty Series. ProvisInstitute.com. Provis, P-R-O-V-I-S, Institute.com. All right.
By the way, yeah. Doug, let me mention something so people will know. I have 1,400 books in process of being printed as we speak.
Wow.
But I still may run out. 1,400 in process of being printed right now.
Let's get those printers a humming. Folks, take advantage of this. You know what? Let's make the printers work.
Right. If I run out, that's what I ran out of before I ran out. I just wanted you to know that we are humming in the business.
That's really good. And folks, you can find the books on Amazon and the bookstores and such. But look, go to Provis Institute. That's where you're going to get the real deal because there's no shipping charges. And I can't believe you absorbed the shipping charges because that's no cheap date.
No, and we absorb any sales tax charges too if they would come our way.
All right.
That comes out of that also. And the book price doesn't change. So the income goes down. I don't care. I want these books out. They should sell for like $29. One lady told me I should sell them for $59. And I says, no, I'm not going to sell. We talked about this before. You were going to buy a whole bunch and sell them for $59. Well, I don't think there's got that. I don't think that people will give it that much value. You know what I mean?
You know, what amazes me is people will, spend $15 on a pizza or whatever and think nothing of it. And yet something this important, I got to really, budget for it and think about this. Well, folks, this is the most important topic that, in my view, the most important topic that we could really address. And I'll tell you, I feel a lot better. You know, that's one thing I want to tell you. I feel a lot better when I speak to people and when I listen to other hosts and such, when they talk about, for example, Article 2, Section 1, Paragraph 2 of the Constitution. I know what it is, or if I don't, depending on what it is, I could pick up your book and go right to it and have the explanation right there. So I really appreciate that. And I appreciate how you wrote all of the books. So
let me explain something that's very important right now. There are a bunch of people out here talking about that treaties override the Constitution. Yeah, some people going out with quotes that say treaties override the Constitution that are in printed books. They say that. Yep. Yes, they are. And it's a big deal. Someone that I've worked with quite a lot was listening to this guy and she, what? Why is this? How come what are we going to do about it? What did the founders mean giving the right of a treaty to override the Constitution? What's going on? Because he did such an excellent job of explaining it. She couldn't even fathom that it wasn't correct. So she wrote to me and said, what can you say about this? What can we do? I thought to myself, I thought you read the book, but she didn't, you see, or she didn't pay attention to it. It's very clear. I even have a special appendix in Saving the Constitution that talks about treaties do not override the Constitution. It's precise. The sixth article says treaties do not override the Constitution. Let me read it again. Sixth article. We will get carefully through it so it won't be hidden. We've got an hour and a half, so I can probably do it. I'm talking Article 6, Paragraph 2. This Constitution, it doesn't say the Constitution. You must remember, that's very important. That's a very important word, this, as in the. The Constitution came about in 1871 when we changed to a corporation. Prior to that, it was this Constitution for the United States. Anyway, here we go. This Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuant thereof. Now, what does that sentence say? It says that this Constitution is the basis for all laws of the United States. Not the federal, not the state. Well, the state too, but mostly the federal. This is a federal document, federal controlling document. So it's talking about laws made by Congress. This Constitution and laws made by Congress, which shall be made in accordance with the Constitution. In other words, laws that do not violate the Constitution. So we've established that the first step in this foundation is the Constitution. Now we've established the second, laws which are made in accordance with the Constitution. That's what the second phrase said. Now we're to the third phrase. And all treaties which shall be made, okay, under the authority of the United States. Now, what does that phrase mean, under the authority of the United States? That's a phrase everybody misses, too, when they read this thing. Under the authority of the United States means laws of the land and, that are in accordance with the Constitution and the Constitution. That's what we're doing. This Constitution is the foundation. Laws must be in accordance with the Constitution to be valid, and treaties must be in accordance with both the laws and the Constitution. It is very clear. Shall be the supreme law of the land. There you have it. And all judges in every state shall be bound by it. What does that say? It's very simple. Constitution is first. Laws of the United States are second. And if those laws go into the states, then they must be in accordance with the Constitution, and the treaties must be in accordance with the Constitution first, and the laws of the land second, or they're invalid. That does not say treaties are the supreme law of the land, which is what people are reading. That doesn't say that. It says treaties under the authority of the United States. You got to read all the words.
Are we talking about anything specific here? I know in general I get the drift, but are we, yes, since China has been such
United Nations.
All right.
We're talking about the United Nations precisely.
Okay.
That is a treaty passed by Congress, the vote passed by the Senate, I mean, with only 3 dissenting votes. Did you hear that? Only 3 dissenting votes. Now, when the League of Nations went up in 1920, early 20s, it was only approved by 3 votes. But then the International Banking Establishment got busy through the Council of Foreign Relations, and they began to take care of the people. So by the time 45 came and it was time to pass that UN version, only 3 dissented. It's a treaty. Does it agree with the Constitution? No, it does not. It controls our country, therefore it does not. Does it agree with the laws of the land? No, it does not. So therefore, the United Nations Treaty is void. It is void. I don't care if every senator voted for it, and everyone voted for it since the day the country was founded. The UN Treaty is void because it does not follow the Constitution or the laws of the land. It dictates to us laws that we must follow, and it dictates us what the Constitution says. The United Nations violates our Constitution every day. We get NGOs. You guys ever heard of the term NGO? Means non-government official.
Yep.
What does that mean? It means a UN official sent here to push sustainable development, which is a UN program, into our lives. That's what that means. And the treaty is void. But we can't get that through our heads, because the 6th article is clear to the end. And that's in the middle. And it has this paragraph, the authority of the United States. Well, we know what that is. So therefore, since the Senate passed it, it must have the authority of the United States. No, it does not. It has the authority of the United States when it follows the Constitution and when it follows the laws that follow the Constitution. Then the UN treaty is correct. Since it does not, it is not a treaty that's valid. And every state in the Union, if they would, but obviously they won't because they're too concerned about getting us under their control by lying about this stuff. Every state in the Union could nullify anything from the UN in their state because it is not a legal treaty. But the states won't do that because they won't even nullify garbage that comes from the International Banking Establishment that are all lies, and they know that anyway, but they're getting paid kickbacks and all kinds of stuff, power and control, and they like that. So they don't care. Nor do they care about the UN, nor do they care about sustainable development, nor do they care about a 2030 agenda, nor do they care about Agenda 21. They don't care about any of those things that are destroying our country. If you hear the word sustainable development, know that that's coming from the United Nations, and it's to destroy your life.
Wow.
Slowly. Slowly, but that's the purpose. Anytime you hear the word smart, anytime smart this, smart that, smart the other, know that that's being done to control your life and make you a slave. Anytime you hear the word sustainable development, know that that's being done to control your life and control where you live and how you live. That's the only thing those two words mean.
I take it you're not a fan of the Paris Climate Accord.
Oh, yeah. I got that the other day and used it for toilet paper. Worked really well.
Okay. Yeah. I... I shouldn't even be amazed anymore. Maybe it's a saddened kind of feeling I get when I see, the people who we hired to represent us are representing their own self-interests. That's disappointing.
That's criminal activity, by the way.
Yes.
That's criminal activity. And we could say, they're not following what we want. We're going to go to the Declaration of Independence, and we are going to abolish this government and get a new one that we like. And that's what the Declaration of Independence says whenever any government violates the laws of the Constitution, the laws of God. Okay? That's what it says.
Amen.
The Declaration of Independence says that. The Constitution shows how to do it. And federal law says you got to follow the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. But nobody's paying any attention. They're just wearing masks because they were told to. They're closing their doors because, we might get fined. Ha! Yeah, you might, but don't pay it anyway. And if they put a lock on your door, rip it off. Folks, they have no authority. They have no jurisdiction. They can't do that to you. Federal law says they can't. And we have a document that we got from a German attorney that explains how to do it.
A document from a German attorney?
Yes. That's that one on the lawsuit that I passed out. One with the 51-minute video.
Right.
I have the text of that. In case you can't see the video, I have the text.
Okay. And yes. What you just said there goes for all of the people who are losing their businesses because of this coronavirus lockdown, not because of the coronavirus, but because of the response to the government, the unconstitutional and illegal government edicts from these many fascist tyrant slugs out there.
Yes.
I played a video yesterday. I don't know whether you saw this. A woman, in California, owner of the pineapple bar, pineapple tavern, restaurant bar, whatever it is. And she had outdoor seating. You did see that?
Yeah. I do know about that. Yes.
Okay. I mean, my whole thinking is if I had a brick and mortar business, come and get me. I'm not closing for you or anyone else, not you. I'm not closing for the government or anyone else.
What you're saying. Yeah, that's exactly. There is another organization, another restaurant in California, Southern California. It was also brought up in the same discussion with hers in the same documents I read. He says, I don't care. I'm not closing. And nobody wears a mask in my facility. That's that. And I'm not closing. You come and get me. And they don't. They don't.
Yeah. And then you have the Staten Island guy who has that bar. You had like 1,000 people out there. And, you know, the show of force, because the hubris, the insanity, not, it's not even hubris. It's insanity of the governors and the mayors and the politicians. They can't afford to lose. So they send, you know, 100 police officers out there to stop the operation of a single business, and they wind up arresting the guy. And that brings
That's called kidnapping, and it's punishable with life imprisonment.
But that's what
this says in the federal law.
Okay. And I agree with you on this, but this kind of goes back to my opening. You know, there's a 9-minute video from Judge Jeanine last night, asking, where in the heck is the FBI? Where is Bill Barr on all of this? Where's our Department of Justice on this? What are they, too busy? I mean, they're too busy shutting down businesses. And where's the Department of Justice on the election and voter fraud? The FBI's got an election fraud unit. My gosh, what in the hell? What, have they been all reassigned to restaurant duty? I mean, I'm asking.
No, Doug, you know where they are.
Yeah, I know where they are.
They've been fighting Trump since he started the campaign. FBI and the Department of Justice have done all they could to destroy Trump in every way they can. Yep. And he passes things and they ignore them. He tries to do this and they ignore him. He fires somebody and the next guy does the same thing. Oh, no. The FBI and the Department of Justice are the one of the main problems he has in doing the work he's trying to do.
Exactly.
You know, if I'd been the president, if I'd been President Trump and Barr, my attorney general, came out and said what he said, I wouldn't have done a dressing down. I'd have just fired his butt that minute. Put your resignation on my table or we're going to escort you out of here. And that'd be done. He'd be out that day. Yep. That's treasonous.
Yep.
He's destroying Trump's opportunity to do what he needs to do. He came out and said, there's nothing in the election. There's no fraud in the election. Everything was all right. It's okay. Everything's right. Garbage.
Well,
fire the dude. Get him out of there. And if the next guy says it, fire him the same day too. Get this place cleaned out. Get rid of these people. You're better off not having a Department of Justice and an FBI if they're going to act like this.
Very well stated. But constitutionally,
they're unconstitutional agencies.
Okay. All right. Which that was my follow up.
Yeah. Volume two. I'm pretty sure it's volume two has a list. One of the volumes has a list of over 1,000 agencies, the federal government, which are unconstitutional, which we pay for every day in our taxes. One of them is the Army.
A standing army, which we were never supposed to have.
Nope. It's unconstitutional. The only army we can have as an army, a big army like that, is for 2 years. That's it. No more. They thought appropriations would stop them, but the House and the Senate keep putting appropriations bills, so it keeps going. No, stop it. It's not supposed to be there. The only service is the Navy. The Navy is the only one that's constitutional. Everything else isn't. The libraries are not constitutional. We're paying half of our tax dollars go to half, two-thirds, three-quarters, nine-tenths. Of our tax dollars go to things that are unconstitutional. The list is 1,000 agencies and 30 pages just to list those organizations. And it's a 2006 list too. It's not today. That's 14 years ago. After Obama got through, what do you think it is? It's probably doubled that.
Yeah.
Doubled.
And I was looking for that list. I just seen it. Like, I can't remember which volume it's in, but President Trump has done, interestingly, and he does not get a lot of credit for this, but he has shut down a number of different agencies.
Yes, he's done a good
agencies.
Job.
And also the regulations, the oppressive regulations that
Wow. He's done that too. The only thing he has not been able to do that he really wanted to do was stop things that Congress had passed and were laws. Like 501c3 organization crime against the church. Right. That is a law by Congress. Unless they revoke it, he can't do it with an executive order. You see? And that's the same problem he's having with some of the other items that are laws, that he can't do anything about those because Congress won't help. And that's another group. Martial law needs to run havoc through. Let me see. Alito, you said he was the guy who wrote the thing that we're not going to see this?
Yeah, he wrote the one sentence.
He wrote the one sentence. Okay,
right.
Well,
yeah.
my feeling, just my feeling is he's on the list to be put in FEMA.
Wow. To hear you
That's
say
it.
That?
Yes, you did. You heard me say that. Every government official that is furthering the problems of this election or the problems of this COVID-19 should be in FEMA, every one of them, with a military tribunal getting ready to review the evidence and make a decision.
Hmm.
I know there won't be many people left in Washington. I understand that. But it'd be better off that they're not there.
Exactly. I hope, you know, I pray that you're 100% right. And I pray that happens because we will not survive as a nation if this is not cleaned up. If we can't survive as a nation with the voting, systems the way they are, such as they are, we can't. And you know, we can't, like you and I, neither one of us can afford to look away. Neither one of us can afford not to say anything. Neither one of us, I mean, we both have skin in the game by our virtual presence here, living and having families and being a part of our republic.
I've asked the people in my neighborhood to pay attention. If there's anything unusual starts happening around here, get in touch with the Kaysville police and bring them into it.
Yes. And by unusual, I mean, that covers a lot of ground.
Yes, it does. It does.
This is a kind of a wild thought. Do you think that the police departments, when you just mentioned the police, do you think the police departments have been overly paramilitarized?
No, not all of them, but they're headed that direction. Not all of them. A lot of them are not militarized yet. You'll find your police departments in your smaller cities are not yet.
I want to go back to the Andy Griffith days. I want to go back to, you know.
Oh, wasn't that a nice time?
Yeah. You know, he could talk just about anybody out. You know, he didn't need a gun. He never carried a gun. He could talk just about anybody out of the situation. So whatever situation it might be. But yeah, you know, but of course those days are, if they ever were, they're not coming back unless we do some radical changes.
Do you remember the artist that used to write draw pictures for Life magazine? Come on. He used to paint pictures of the people of the United States.
You're talking about Norman Rockwell.
That's it, Norman Rockwell. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We should go back to the days of Norman Rockwell's paintings.
That would be nice.
Yes.
Yeah, indeed. Well, you know, we've got about 24 minutes left of the show. Whatever you want to get into, go ahead, because I dominated so much of this, and I apologize for that, but you said some absolutely, I've learned a lot from you this session, this program. I've learned a lot, and I appreciate that.
Well, you know, you say that I can have the rest of the time regularly, and I don't mind that you're saying that, but I take the time that I want already. I make notes. I've already covered all the stuff that I would typically cover.
Okay.
And I went over in detail the article 2, section 2, paragraph 3, section 1, paragraph 2 and 3 in detail last time, how the Electoral College should work. And I went over in detail that on Sunday again, in detail of that.
Okay, well, I've got a question for you then, if you don't mind.
Please ask.
Okay, this week, the Republic, or I should say, I'm sorry, the state of Texas, filed a lawsuit against four other states. All right, now the Texas Attorney General, Ken Paxton, he filed on behalf of Texas, as he sued battleground states, my commonwealth, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, my state, Georgia, Michigan, and Wisconsin, to challenge the unconstitutional creation of their mail-in ballots within the election, because they did it without our consent. It should have been a ballot measure. It should have been on the ballot, you know, and run through the people. So, the question I have is, this is a state v state situation. What are your thoughts about this?
Oh, I'm ready. I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm ready for that. I want to read again the jurisdiction and the judicial power of the Supreme Court. Controversies between two or more states. That's the third or fourth item in this list of things that the Supreme Court has original jurisdiction for and is responsible to do and cannot turn it down.
Okay.
Did you hear that? They can't choose. They take that. That goes right to the Supreme Court.
It does. Now,
controversies between two or more states. That goes right to the Supreme Court. They can't turn it down. They have to see that. They can't say, well, we don't want to see that case. It is their duty and their original jurisdiction. How about that?
Okay. Well, that goes to something I said earlier, and that was the reference to, I'll get it right here, something called Heckler's veto, which was more or less used to dismiss the Pennsylvania case. So how could this even be? I mean, although it's...
You see, there's one thing we got to take into consideration here. The Supreme Court has no authority to look over what Pennsylvania's done. Sorry, they don't have the authority. Marshall took it upon himself in 1816, but he didn't have the authority to do it. So we always go to the Supreme Court and appeal for them to make a final decision to decide what we should do, but they don't have any authority to do it anyway. But they cannot avoid a controversy between two or more states. Cannot avoid that. That is a constitutional mandate. They have original jurisdiction.
So that makes me feel a little bit better to hear you say that. Frankly, constitutional, well, Mark Levin, you know, said, well, if they turn down Pennsylvania, what are the chances, you know, that they're going to listen or take up the, or not take up, but what are the chances they're going to rule in favor or rule?
Just a minute. Rule in favor is one thing. What are the chances that they will even take the case is another.
They've got to take the case.
Our folks do not understand what the Constitution says. I've tried many times to get on some of these programs to help these folks understand a little bit what the Constitution says to their audiences, and I can't get there. They won't let me in, or they don't know that I should be there, or they don't know that I have anything to say. I'm not sure. I tried to get on Mark Levin's show one time to talk about the 20th Amendment so that I could describe what that means to everybody on his show. Well, when I said that to the guy, he's, what's your subject? I told him my subject. He says, we're not talking about that. Click.
Okay. Nice. Well, that happens.
I know it does, but he didn't even ask. He didn't even approach. He didn't really even know what I was saying.
And he
didn't ask for that. He didn't ask for the information either.
That, you know, yeah, we're not talking about that. Click. Well, obviously, would you just call up on the day when they're talking about, bubblegum and bicycles or what? Obviously, you called up on a day when they were talking about the 20th Amendment. Was it
I have no idea what they were talking about that day. Oh. I just called in that day because it was time to talk about that on that kind of a show.
Okay.
Well, Mark Levin, his staff, I don't think Mark even knew, his staff didn't want to talk about that, so said, no, you're out of here, click.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't get him to say another word. He says, we're not talking about that. Click.
Okay. Well, okay. So what I hear you saying, though, nonetheless, is the Supreme Court has got to hear this, obviously, and they have it docketed. And I should note that there was a, let me just make sure I've got this right here, because maybe you could tell from this, where this might be headed. Supreme Court orders states to reply to Texas election fraud lawsuit by 3 p.m. on Thursday. What's the hurry? I guess is my question. And is that indicative of anything?
Just a minute. Read that sentence again, that whole thing.
Okay.
So, I want to listen to every word.
All right. Let me, open this up here. Now the lawsuit was filed, last week, Supreme Court, or on Monday, I believe, Supreme Court orders the defendant states, to reply to Texas election fraud lawsuit by 3 p.m. tomorrow, Thursday.
Good.
Okay.
They're doing their job. They've accepted the case. That's exactly what they're supposed to do.
Okay. All right.
They've accepted the case.
Right. Now, would you read anything into that timing of that?
No, I would think that's right. They're wanting it done quickly.
Okay.
They want that information quickly. They've given them, I guess, 48 hours to respond. Shouldn't take them that long to respond anyway. But they've given 48 hours. The government of Texas is suing those states. And they've got the case all lined up and they've presented it. And the Supreme Court has said, okay, other states respond. That's the way things are done. That's proper.
All right.
And that means they've taken the case as they're supposed to.
I don't know whether you had a chance to look at the Texas lawsuit, the state of Texas lawsuit, but I've got to tell you, the merits of the case, what they have in there is just the comprehensive nature of this case. I look at this and I marvel at what's in there and the degree of the depth of.
That's outstanding.
It is. So,
be very difficult for people to fight against that and say that that's wrong, huh? See, what they've got to do, what the other states have got to do is say, those accusations are wrong. We didn't do those things.
But they,
that's what they have to do.
They admitted they did.
Or they're admitting to fraud.
Yeah. Well, they already, I mean, it's very clear, at least in my state. Look, I know what my state did, and they pushed through Act 77, which was against the PA, U.S. or PA Constitution and the U.S. Constitution. So, I mean, it's out in the open. So how can they deny it when you know?
Well, see, that gives Texas a really good case, doesn't it?
It does. Yes.
And it makes the Supreme Court honor Texas thing and rule for Texas, really. How can the Supreme Court rule otherwise? Unless they're just completely dishonest, and they can be that.
And then they can be that.
But there's a case. This case is precisely in accordance with the Constitution. It's been filed properly. It's a case between states. That is exactly their responsibility, and they have original jurisdiction in that, and they have assumed the case, and they've asked for replies by a certain date. The question is, what will they do when the replies aren't there on time?
That's a good question. What could they do if the replies?
What they could do is fine for Texas, and those people will all. I'm not sure exactly what the judgment would be because I don't know exactly what Texas has asked for in their judgment. But whatever they've asked for, they'll have to file for Texas, and those states would be in violation of the law that the Supreme Court just said, because the Supreme Court just said what Texas said is correct. You see?
Yes, I do see. And again, I'm starting to feel a little bit better than I did at the beginning of the program with you explaining this. I mean, there's this, what I believe Texas is saying, and I could read it, but it would be dry. But the fact is, the other states violated Texas's rights, the citizens of Texas' rights, their vote. They disenfranchised Texas's votes.
Yes, they did. They disenfranchised Texas's votes. That's right.
So, it seems like a pretty solid case to me.
Well, the only what they've done, see, what's happened, the way I see it, whether they have a case or not, personally, they have said, we believe that those states, however many they mentioned them, have violated law, legal activities. They have cheated. They've cheated. And here's what we've got. This is the evidence. I'm sure that's all in this. Here's the evidence. And we want whatever they wanted. I would want their votes, their state votes, to be canceled.
Yeah, the remedies, I'm not sure what remedies they're asking for or if they have, but the nature of the action, and this is something that you can comment on, the second action here, this case presents a question of law. Did defendant states violate the Elector's Clause or, in the alternative, the 14th Amendment? I know that's your favorite, right? By taking or allowing non-legislative actions to change the election rules that would govern the appointment of presidential electors. I know that was a mouthful, but that's what the second cause of action is.
It's very technical. All the stuff like that is very technical.
Yeah, it
and
is.
By the way, the 14th Amendment doesn't cover nearly all the things people are sticking on it.
That's why I threw that little barb in there.
14th Amendment, you can't find anything that says what you just said in the 14th Amendment. It really can't be. But we've defined the 14th Amendment as the amendment, as a catch-all amendment for everything that we have in jurisdiction and citizenship and everything. But it's not all there. It's just the way people have done it.
Well, it's interesting because you would not know that, folks, unless you read Saving the Constitution by Richard Proctor. Go to provisinstitute.com. And I mean that. And for extra credit and for Christmas, get the Liberty series as well. Get all of his books because they're all, they all have a different value to them. And they're all, I want to say they're all equally valuable because they are, but in different, areas. This gives you, the Liberty series gives you some really great background and some structure that will help you understand saving the Constitution. Although Saving the Constitution is a standalone book. And then Bathroom Economics. And then the books that are made for specifically for teaching others, including, you know, for homeschoolers and such. Folks, provisinstitute.com, please do that. I don't get paid to say this. I really don't. Dr. Parker does not pay me. I don't get a commission. I believe in this so much because of where we are. And you know what? I think if people knew the Constitution, if especially the well, I don't know if it'd make a difference if the left media knew the Constitution or not, because they don't care about it.
They don't care. That's right. They don't care.
Yeah.
In fact, I've presented things to bodies who should have wanted to know the information. I'm being very, very general here. But they did not want to know the information, so they refused to accept the document. Mm. Yep, that's what happened.
You know,
anyway,
that's sad.
We've got a lot of things that were misused, and the 14th Amendment is misused constantly. But nonetheless, however they want it, I'm thinking about what the remedy should be. And I don't think the remedy should be to throw out those states, because that doesn't accomplish anything. The remedy should be to throw out all questionable voting. And I saw pictures of questionable voting. I saw charts that showed spikes of ballots that showed up after they stopped counting.
Yes.
And several states have those spikes. The remedy is anything from that spike on is not countable.
How about anything? Oh, okay. I'll phrase this in the form of a question. Constitutionally, when does the voting stop?
Midnight on the election.
All right. So based on a strict constitution, a constitutionalist would say, if you haven't counted all the votes by midnight on election day, too bad.
I wouldn't say that.
Okay.
I wouldn't say, they didn't count all of my votes until about 2 weeks later, but they were all legal votes.
Okay.
Rather say any vote cast after the closing midnight of the day.
All right.
Doesn't.
And that's because that's a complaint in this complaint where, you know, votes were backdated to the 3rd when they were cast on the 4th.
Yep, that kind of stuff. And we know those. We know it.
Yeah.
But you see, if you try to go through every vote, then going through every vote will occupy tons of time and tons of effort, and then how do you verify some of the things? And some of the folks have already wiped clean their election results. So they know exactly, based on the tallies and the information and the statistics, when votes came in hour by hour. And they have the charts. I've seen several charts that show that. Okay, every one of those charts show a spike. That spike is undoubtedly unconstitutional and cheating. Therefore, take everything after that spike out. And whatever the numbers were before that spike, that's the way they are.
Well, then we would have President Donald Trump, which I agree, because that spike in thereafter represents, in some cases, not all, but in some cases, a significant percentage over the number of registered voters per precinct or per area.
Yep,
so,
exactly. Yep. But they're all votes that are subsect. Many of those votes are a complete ballot with only one vote on them, just Biden, nothing else. Hundreds of thousands of those are that way. Those are obviously falsified. Just go to the spike. Everything by after the spike doesn't count in the presidential election.
Yep.
That's a remedy that would fix this whole deal.
Are you in favor of I just have to ask this question. Here it is 2020, okay? It's not 1789. 50, okay? However, here's what I'm in favor of. I'm in favor of paper ballots, ID. Okay, you show your ID as a citizen of the United States, or I'm sorry, you show your ID that you are eligible to vote. They compare it to the roll, the voter roll, and you cast a vote by filling in a circle or making an X or whatever it might be, but it's all on paper.
Yes, absolutely. And the paper is never destroyed.
Right.
Never destroyed.
That's what I think we need to go back to. And these Dominion machines and everyone else, all these electronic stuff, to hell with them. It's, you know what? They had their chance. Ain't happening.
Yep. People don't understand. They think computers are an aid, and they are an aid. But if I have a computer and I want to cheat somebody, I can ensure that it happens. Yes. Because all I got to do is write the program that way. Programmers write programs all the time. If I want to cheat somebody and I have a computer and they have to go by the computer, I can do it. I didn't see this, but it came in an article I was reading. A fellow said, I will show you how every one of these voting machines can be hacked. And he sat down in front of other people and hacked into every voting machine. And he didn't have anything special. He just knew how to do it.
Well, that gives you some confidence, doesn't it?
Yes. He hacked into every one of them. Wasn't very many minutes to do it either. All of them. I don't mean that he got into every machine worldwide. I mean nationwide. I mean that he showed very quickly that he could hack into any machine they wanted him to hack into, and he did it.
Well, you know, the people said, "Oh, these aren't connected to the internet." The hell they're not. How do you transmit?
Everything's connected to the internet.
Exactly.
Exactly. Everything.
But I have something. Maybe you didn't know this, but did you know that when you cast a vote on one of those machines, you're not actually casting a vote. You're casting let me make real clear or make sure I've got this right. Your vote is actually a fractional number that goes to, I've got this. This blew my mind. Votes specifically by Dominion, the software, they're not counted as votes, but three-digit fractions. And you're not voting for a candidate. Points are assigned to candidates. So your vote is turned into a three-digit fraction, which then is translated into points assigned to the candidate.
That's just a convoluted way of cheating.
Yeah. Okay. I'm one. Put one in that column. End of story.
Nothing else. That's just a convoluted way of cheating. That's a way that people who are programmers who want to cheat get stuff complicated so they can. See, attorneys are great at this. They can make you think black is white because they have words. They know how to wordsmith stuff to make it appear that way. And they can take through rationale and show everything. And all of a sudden, you are convinced that black is white. But they've cheated all the way along. All you really had to do is look at it.
Unbelievable.
And that's the kind of thing where when they start going into what you just went through, there's going to be all kinds of convoluted stuff. And that's where it's cheating, where the cheating's done and all that convolution. That's why it's there.
Wow. Dr. Proctor, you've been so gracious to put up with me today, and you've been so gracious to spend an hour on Sunday with me, actually more than that because it takes longer to prepare and stuff. I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart because we're at the end of the program. You're a gracious man. You really are.
We did good on Sunday, and I appreciated the opportunity to do that. Every time I come with you, I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, we appreciate you, and by the comments that we receive, folks love you and they respect you. They respect your knowledge as well as I do.
Well, I hope I never let any of them down. I want to always be as honest as I can and don't let anybody down.
That's my goal. And I think as long as we're pushing the way we're pushing and we're going the way we're going, I think we're not going to let anyone down. We're going to fight
the
fight.
Plan. Exactly right. That is the plan.
God bless you, my friend. Thank you. All right. Folks, visit ProvisInstitute.com, ProvisInstitute.com. Buy the book, Saving the Constitution, Liberty Series, Bathroom Economics. It's the time. Get them before they run out. Christmas is coming. May God bless. Have a great night, everyone. Eric the Tech, thanks for everything you do. Have a great night.